Okay, these are odd, so whenever it shows up, I need it.
Alright. Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call to order this Medina Township Trustees special meeting. The time is now 7 p.m. and the date is September 22nd of 2022. Could I please get a roll call?
Mr. Johnson?
Here.
Mr. Eastwood?
Here.
Mr. Christopher?
Here.
Alright, so first on our agenda tonight is going to be our banking discussion. Who would like to start on that one? It's a special meeting.
You want me to?
Sure. Yes.
So, okay, over the weekend, I had gone on to check our account. I do that routinely after, you know, I cut checks plus we didn't pay, you know, for our payroll to make sure that the right amount comes out through ACH. And there were two withdrawals again through ACH, which same thing, EFT, ACH are the same. That also came out on Friday. I'm not sure exactly what time they posted. When I was on earlier in the day, they had not been there Friday, so on Saturday I saw them. And they were from a bank, a vendor that I did not recognize. So I tried to call Westfield's main number, but unfortunately they only have the automated service over the weekend. So I reached out to Chris, our banker, over the weekend. He was kind enough to email me back right away. And I also made an inquiry, you know, into those transactions online right away. And so on Monday, we got the ball rolling right away to go ahead and dispute those transactions, besides the online dispute that I had done. However, it has opened up some questions as far as if the money couldn't be recuperated, who would have been on the hook for that. So that's why we're here tonight to discuss this.
Right. So just real quick synapse from what I had talked with you. We have technically three EFT withdrawals a month and one that is yearly. So it's not like a large volume of different EFT withdrawals that we would have.
Correct. There's two bi-weekly, just so you're aware. There's two that come
paychecks
out bi-weekly,
and
paychecks and deferred comp. There's one that comes out, it's actually two OPRs, because it's police OPRs, and then the local, which is everybody else, admin and road and bridge. And then there's one per year, which is the Bureau of Workers' Comp, and that's only once annually.
Right, and I think the thing I was kind of getting at is it's not an overly thing. Like my
Correct.
Company, we have EFTs with a lot of our customers that we get direct pays and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so.
The township government is different in order, you know, with we there's a setup, obviously, you know, the board knows this. I mean, when we sign checks, at least, you know, it's in the revised code that at least two trustees and the fiscal officer have to sign off on every warrant. When you want to pay things through EFT, each EFT has to be, to do that, you have to start that by resolution. That's kind of to get that's the only way you can do that, because you're not having each payment signed by the two trustees and the fiscal officer. I still always include those on that on the next payment listing, so that you know what has come out of the accounts and where they're going. But you know, unfortunately, you're not actually approving them before they go out, because there's really no way to do that. You know, but it's we try to do as little, you know,
right.
EFT as possible.
And again, I think the point I'm getting at is, if, and I'll include the bank in here too, is if there's a way that we can only pre-approve these few EFTs, and anything else that would come through as a withdrawal from us would be automatically flagged. You know what I mean?
They do have some programs, I believe you were sharing.
Yes.
When we had some conversation, can we ask them to go ahead and tell us what?
This is the banking discussion part, so
yeah.
I mean, yeah.
So can we just, I know Chris, you and I talked about this yesterday, if we can just put on the record who's here, do you want to recommend?
Chris Anzavino, banker, relationship banker.
Nick D'Amato, the bank secrecy act officer, security officer, fraud officer.
Thank you.
Welcome. And Chris and I had a discussion yesterday, and I believe you said the money was recovered?
Yes.
Correct? Okay. So that's a great thing. So,
and was this again? On the thing, it looked like it was another bank. It wasn't like an entity or something removing it. So
it looked like Regions Bank was the transaction, is what I saw.
That's what
it looked like. on the 16th, there was a, is when that withdrawal, those two withdrawals were originated through Regions Bank as e-checks. So basically, somebody logs in on the Regions Bank's website, the Regions Bank customer, inputs, you know, I want to pay. This was actually a payment towards a credit card, a Regions Bank Visa card. Here's the routing number, here's the account number, and set the payment date. Friday, originated Thursday, Friday is when it actually will pull. So you'll probably see it, you said you've seen it Saturday. So Friday night, Saturday it pops, and then, you know, come Monday, when we were contacting Chris, come Monday, we went ahead after, you know, we got the information from Chris, went ahead and began the recovery efforts of those funds. So.
Are we able to track who, how, this money?
So currently we do have an account number. The banks participate, we participate in a process called 314B, where we will send information to Regions Bank to try to get information on where that, who owns that account, whether they give it to us or not, you know, but we are attempting to get a name of or business where that those funds were applied to.
So they might not give it to you then?
They might not.
Why would they not give it to you? Why would they not share that if there's fraud? I would think any bank would be interested in cutting down on fraud.
A lot of it comes, even when we see it with fraud, they come down and say it's secrecy of our customer. We can't give you that information. Now, sometimes, again, there may be some, you know, if you could get an investigator at Regions Bank, which we're reaching out to, and they can, you know, unofficially share information with you, you know, we try those routes as well.
You said that all they need is the routing number. Is that the number that's on the check itself, the bottom?
Yeah, and the routing number is easy to find.
I mean, right, every check has it. And then the account number, is that hard to find too, or? Just
anytime you pay a bill, you write a check.
So, and those are the two only two things that they needed to do that. Then there's no secondary you know, like a security password or code or anything else.
As long as you got, I mean, if I have your account number, I know your routing number, I got your account number, I can go to Home or Office Depot, buy checks, put it in there, and try to start depositing these checks, cashing them.
Sounds very scary.
It's part of today's. We dealt with it with our company, and it happens. And unfortunately, it's part of the culture we're in right now. Right?
You just think adding one security thing would kind of solve that one secret thing.
Well, there was a comment or an indication that, like, okay, we're very appreciative of the fact that we're able to recover these funds, and our concern or my concern is, okay, what steps can we take to minimize our risk moving forward, and you know what? There was a comment about the possibility of not being able to recuperate them if something like this would happen again. Can you tell me a little more about that, or tell us a little more about that?
So, just as to point out, so we came in on Monday morning. So we have an automated fraud, anti-money laundering software that looks at all these transactions. These transactions didn't work Monday morning because there were transactions that never occurred. You know, that you've never had funds going to that account at Regions Bank. So with that, you know, if we're within that 24 to 48 hours, we can get that, because all this stuff is coming in real time, because technically, even though you guys were debited, that payment would not have hit that credit card account until probably Monday afternoon. So it gives the bank time to pull those funds back. And it's the same thing with an in-clearing check. The only place where it's different is it's wire activity. That wire funds are pretty much, if it hits an account, they could pull those within a minute after the account those funds hit. So there are protections on the back end that look at checks. check number's out of sequence. Maker signature's not matching, you know, so if Ms. Ventura signs checks and a check comes through and somebody scribbles her signature on there, it looks at checks that she's written before to see if there's any you know, image, they call it image similarity risks.
Yes.
So, you know, we catch a lot, you know, so and right. Right now for businesses, you know, government agencies, businesses, you know, with the software we've provided, prevented about 6.8 million in fraud. This very similar with this ACH and checks, obviously, based.
Since we've been hacked or whatever you want to call it at this point, does our account get flagged? Do you watch it more closely?
So what will happen is we don't physically watch it. What happens is since those transactions were fraud, the system itself will put a higher risk to your relationship. So it's going to be looking at things a little bit more in detail than how they were. So every time fraud occurs on an account, the risk goes up on the relationship because you've had fraud. So the system kind of adjusts its parameters a little bit to look in a little bit more detail at your transactions.
Then like Chuck was saying, there's not that many transactions in this portion of our banking account, so it's not like we're putting out 100 different EFTs a month. There's only a few, so to me it sounds like what you're telling me, that the automation that you have in place is
if Angela would have contacted Chris on Sunday, do you think your software would have caught, you know?
It caught it Monday.
It caught it Monday?
So we would have called.
Gotcha.
You know, so somebody from my team picked up the phone, call and said, hey, is this something
that's,
that
you that's
guys
comforting.
I thought I heard that, but I appreciate your answer.
Yeah, I think that, you know, and I think Chris would probably talk about positive pay.
Mm-hmm.
The concern, though, that I have is, you know, the software, you know, nothing's ever 100% guaranteed. So, you know, unfortunately. But your account number's out there. Somebody has it.
Would we be better off to close the account and open up a new one?
At this point, kind of where I see it as, where you have a lot of debits, you've got credits coming in, it's a pain to get all that stuff changed. Positive pay, we steer a lot of customers to positive pay because they have, you know, it's just a pain to change that account information. Positive pay has worked wonders for our customers and has prevented fraud like this. So
yeah. Can you tell us a little more about that?
So with positive pay, you'll have the ability to monitor the transactions, approve and reject, basically, and you'll get emails every day. So one of the things, you'll get an email saying you have some items that need exceptions, whether exception meaning approve or reject. And then some days you might get, since you guys don't have that much transactions, you can just get an email saying you don't have anything to approve for the day or reject. But it allows you to, if this, in this case, with the two transactions with Regions Bank, you would have got an email notification and you could have logged in and you could approve or reject them. And you could have said, oh, well, I have no idea what this is, so I'm gonna reject them anyway. And then we would return the transactions. So
when there's an EFT transaction going on right now, do we get any notification when that transaction happens right now? Or is it just by logging in and keeping an eye on ourselves?
As of now, it would just be by logging in and mm-hmm. knowing that it's a transaction.
And there's no setting that we can do just to have an email sent out when the transactions go currently? Mm-hmm.
There's nothing like that, no.
But and forgive me, my head's not all there, but how many transactions a month roughly are we looking at with this?
Are we talking about ACH, or are we talking about total?
All EFT transactions.
Oh, EFT, we're only talking about, if we have three meetings, we normally have two meetings right. a month. When there's two, there's one. There's two deferred comp, there's two paychecks. No, okay, I'm sorry, bear with me here.
Okay.
There's two paychecks, there's two deferred comps per payroll, so four deferred comps, and then there's two overs total.
So eight.
So eight.
not a lot for a month.
And then if you have a third meeting a month, you have to add on to that, but we only have a couple months that we have three meetings a month, so.
Four year then.
Yeah, and then you'll have, you know, like I said, the one BWC once a year, and that's it.
Okay.
So, but my concern with positive pay, and I've called around with this after talking to you, Chris, there's a couple things. From what I'm gathering, it sounds like when an entity signs up for positive pay, you're taking on a lot of the liability then, because if you miss something, then it seems like the bank kind of can say, okay, hold on, but you already approved this or rejected it, so we're stepping away from this as far as recovering, trying to recover money. I was actually told that in so many words from a different bank, so I'm not sure if that's your stance on it as well.
I think my stance would be it's more of an added layer of protection, because our process isn't going to change whether you have it or not. And our goal is to make sure it's, you know, to monitor your accounts with our system that we have. And then if we put the positive pay in place, that allows you to monitor the transactions at another level. You know, not sure, you know, if we're going to sit back and say, oh, well, now it's all on you. It's, you know, it's a relationship where we want to make sure that you have all the tools that are out there. And we did talk about, just to get down to one thing that we talked about, the cost. You know, the bank would absorb the cost for positive pay because we discussed the funds being public funds money. So we wouldn't charge you guys the charge that was there.
Okay.
That's one of the things I was going to ask you.
There's a fee, but that's okay. And then, well, and then the other thing that, you know, and this was a big concern too. I appreciate what you're saying with the, if all the liability isn't transferred onto the township, but really, I think that the biggest thing was, and I know you said sometimes the transactions can start as early as 5 to 6, but it seems like they're not really always there until 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. That, you know, you're not guaranteeing that they're there till 8, and it's a very small, it's an 8 to 10 a.m. window. And, I mean, I know personally I can't guarantee that I'm on a township computer from 8 to 10 every morning. It's just not, you know. So the thing is, if you miss that then, if I miss that, if or any of us, I mean, because I would say there's four of us who are signers on this account, right? So those would be really the only four people who should be able to go on that account. And if not one of us can guarantee that we can sit there, because you'd have to have, I mean, if we would do this, I don't think it should be just for the auto pays, because I think it really, the checks, I mean, it's almost, it is important to look at, you know, the warrants that come in, and we're looking at, you know, you guys know that our warrant lists are usually about 30, you know, 30 checks,
yeah,
you know, long. So you'd have to sit there and go have a warrant list in front of you, and every day make sure you're approving those. And it's, to me, there's more of a risk, A, that you could miss something, you know, and if you miss something, that's not good. But you could also accidentally not approve something, and then that could cause an issue.
And that approving thing makes me more nervous than missing something, because they're already doing the searches. You're not doing those anymore. So, pretty, you know, that protection.
Well, it's normally 75, but that's a month.
If we're paying bills,
yeah, but they said they would,
and I was just thinking about the EFTs as opposed to all of it. So.
Yeah. Is that even possible, though?
The way to put, there is, you can do ACH positive pay, yes. So ACH, electronic transfer, yes, there is a way. And for, just to talk about positive pay really quick, say you write checks, you can upload a file to positive pay. So then when this file is uploaded into the system, if it goes through our system, it'll read that you uploaded, so you wouldn't have to go manually approve every check.
Okay.
Because if you upload it, but there is, again, a piece of effort that has to be involved, and it would either be in the front end or it will be on the back end. But there is a little bit of effort.
Yeah.
I think that's what our company does, is we take the checks, and right when we issue them, we send it out to the institution.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we don't send it out to the institution and somebody goes, you know, we get distracted,
mm-hmm,
then we have upset vendors.
Right.
But
yeah,
but it's, to me, that's a better way to go than trying to do it
piecemeal.
Right.
Right.
And it is a step, but it, in our case, it's a fair amount of stuff, but the gentleman seems to be able to do it. This makes it part of the process.
When you're talking about uploading a file for the checks, just so I'm clear, are you just looking at, when you do that, are you looking at the checks to the do you look at the checks, the vendors, and the amounts, or are you just looking at check numbers to make sure, or how does that work?
It would be check number, amount, and then payee.
Okay.
That's all electronic, correct?
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, like I said, I personally know, like I said, that I couldn't commit to the hours that is required for the, to be on for the positive pay. I can't, you know, I'm not going to say that I'll do something that I know I can't.
Even on the, if we do the upload on the start part, I mean.
Yeah, no, just because I know with my work schedule, I can't promise that I'd be able to log on during those hours for the, even for the, there's just times that I'm on appointments at those hours, so I can't, you know, and I would hate to, if, gosh forbid, something happens and I'm not able to get on the township computer and load and not be on the bank account.
Have you come across situations where something like what you're hearing up here has taken place, that people have, you know, are there other alternatives for people to verify?
There's a way where we can put a debit block where we block all, but you're blocking all transactions. And that's one of the things I put in the email, but that's probably not favorable, right? You know, you need to have transactions on your account. So really the biggest piece, the positive pay is the layer of security that we have. And other than our technology and our back office, there's nothing else.
Is there, I know we talked a little bit about this yesterday, but that, like the two, is there any way to block new ACHs, just only let the ones that we've initiated, you know, that we have relationships with now, but don't allow new vendors, new ACHs to go through? Because I don't see us initiating any new ACHs unless, we only really do that unless it's a forced, you know, unless we're forced to do that.
Right.
I don't see that happening. So, I mean, would there be a way to only allow the ones that are, you know, currently in place and then say no more, you know, because that would have solved this problem, right?
Well, I'm going to sound like a repeating. So with ACH positive pay, so to answer your question, other than ACH positive pay in our system, there is not. But with ACH positive pay, say those four vendors that you have, you can add them into the system. So as those vendors are going through, it won't flag as something you have to approve because it's known.
Oh, so you're saying it wouldn't have to be a daily thing that you're checking?
Yeah, the daily piece is if there's something on there that needs to be rejected, that's the daily piece. It's just a simple, oh. But as your system, you'll build out the ACH positive pay to your known vendors. So you'll see, you said OPERS. So you'll put OPERS into the system. So when OPERS is just going to fly through because it's
okay,
already known.
Okay.
There's a big learning piece. So if I'm not communicating it, clearly,
it might not have been you. It might be just,
Did you want to say something?
Yeah. So you said that they have our routing number, whoever this person is, regions.
So the routing number is the banks. Those can be accessible on Google. So the account number would be specified towards the township. So yes, they have it, right?
So they would have both. They'd have a routing number and an account number?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we really don't know if 100 people have it, correct?
Correct.
Well, I would say there's probably more than 100 people that have it because everyone we've ever written a check to.
Right.
I'm saying though, like the people that actually committed this fraud, that
right.
God knows how many people have
it. Unfortunately, without knowing who did this, I mean, I find it unusual that there was two payments right from that same bank
mm-hmm.
on the same day. I would assume it was the same person making
right.
them, but
our
same account, and they'll generally break up the payments like that to avoid any suspicious activity
yeah.
on the bank end.
Yeah.
And they're trying to keep it small, so maybe if you're doing a gazillion transactions, it slides through without being noticed. Fortunately for us, we don't do a zillion transactions, and so it was able to be noticed. Are there any other, I'm personally, I like what I'm hearing. I appreciate the process. If we didn't do anything, I appreciate the process you have in place. Are there any other mechanisms that people use to, for a security weapon?
So there's a, one of the things that you can put in place would be a money market sweep. So you're not holding all of your total balance, that's what we talked about, into the checking account. So say we opened up a money market account and we gave you an interest rate, which would be 2.5%.
Okay.
Because we talked about that. And so that would be 2.5%. And then you can put a target balance into the checking, your primary checking account. So random numbers, just total random. But say we put $500,000 in the checking account. So if the balance were to go to 500 or 600,000, the system would sweep the money back down to 500, so sweep 100,000 into a savings account. So I would say the only thing with that is when you're doing bank reconciliations, you'll see sweeps. So you're gonna have to know that, you know, there's gonna be it'll just show an automatic transfer on your bank rec.
Okay.
It'll mitigate the risk of, okay, you're not having this giant balance in this account. It's gonna be put into a savings account where you can get interest that can help the township, and then it'll mitigate risk by having it all in one area.
And that with money market, I'm assuming that it's much more difficult to get account numbers on that because you're not writing.
I would say it'd be more difficult. Yeah, if you're not.
Because the access to that is more difficult. I do, that's something Chris and I talked about yesterday. Like he said, I don't, when we opened the account, we didn't have nearly the kind of funds we have now in the checking account. So we really don't need to be keeping the kind of this in
yes.
there.
Well,
now,
how much is in there right now?
Close to $7 million.
Yeah, it's a couple dollars.
So that being said, I think that's something separate and aside that we shouldn't talk about. That being said, this kind of situation could still happen. I mean, because we were talking about what worth nearly $6,500 between the two transactions, so we could still get hit for this stuff. So it's kind of like a two-part thing. But I do believe we should talk about moving some of that money anyways. And the money market, is that how? Is that for any period of time? Do you have to keep that?
So the rate is locked for 6 months, but the only reason why we do that is once the rate is over, we give you our best rate that we can. We just lock it for 6 months, just that's our process. But it's a volatile interest rate market right now, rate's going up, we'll have a conversation, this is the best rate we can give you.
If we needed to access that money for some reason, do we lose?
It's liquid.
It's liquid.
Okay.
It is not a CD. Yeah,
okay.
It's not locked up. It's liquid.
Okay, so you got 7 million, and let's just pick a number, say it's $100,000 a month that you know, need to make payments. Could you put 6.9 up here or 6.8 into the money market, and that way the worst we'd ever be hit would be that 100,000 or 200,000?
Well,
I just want to make sure that I'm hearing.
And things. We would, I mean, clearly we'd have to talk numbers because we wouldn't be more than that. But, and again, like it wouldn't solve what happened though Monday or Saturday. But, we should.
And I don't think, honestly, there's a way you're going to make yourself 100%.
No, I think that's
It's something that happens. Mm-hmm. And, you know, unless there's something else.
With the research I did, I was finding that as long as you report the loss within a certain time frame, I think it was 48 hours, I believe, you had that then your money is guaranteed, you know, with maybe a $50 loss, I think it was. I'd have to pull off my research. I'm sorry, I forgot to walk out of the house with it. And then if you did it within like 30 days, you're maybe up to a $500 loss. Is that, I mean, this is stuff I'm, you know, researching, some of it's on Google, so I know not everything, you can't believe everything you read on the internet, but
right.
Is that what are your policies on that? Like, if you guys can't recover the money, would the township been at total loss on that, or was the bank, what are your policies exactly?
So there's two different types when it comes to fraud. So you have more for your personal customers, and then you have your business customers. So this would fall in that business. So that whole 30 days, 60 days, where the bank has to reimburse, a lot of that is more for the individual personal customer.
Okay.
So with businesses, know, like Reggie, a lot of that stuff doesn't, there's not a lot of protection for businesses there. You know, for example, debit card fraud. I mean, and usually the bank in 10 days, an individual customer, we have to provide a provisional credit within 10 days. For a business customer, banks don't have to do that. So in this particular case, if there was a loss, you know, if you notify us within that 24 to 48 hours, the recovery, similar to this, recovery chances are good. If it's an in-clearing check that's caught the next day, whether it's through our system or you log into your account and say, hey, this check clearing today for $17, they don't know what this is. Those are easy funds to recover. We can recover those. The problem is if you call us 30 days and say, you know, we noticed this check that cleared 30 days ago, the chance of recovery is slim, and that's probably where, you know, potentially the customer may be liable for that.
Okay, which I understand that. Yeah, there's never a time that 30 days would ever go
by. I mean, if it's within 24 hours, and that's, you know, a lot of the customers with the ACH and the check fraud, recovery is, I mean, again, nothing's 100%, but 99%, that recovery is there.
And when you're talking 24, are we talking business days? Because with the weekend, that made it a little
more. Yeah, so if you've seen a check that if you log in Monday morning and you've seen that there was an ACH kind of, similar to what you just had, that weekend time frame, those 2 days don't count.
Okay.
So that Monday we come in and get the ball rolling.
If it was in an international, would that make things any more difficult or easier?
It would make things a little difficult, but again, a lot of that money, if it's international, in this particular case, if it was international, it would go from Westfield to a clearing bank in the United States and then out. So we'd still have time to pull that money
from the clearing
bank that's going to send it out overseas. Okay. And ACHs with the fraud, we're not seeing a lot of. There are certain blocks behind the scenes at the bank that do prevent customers from sending ACHs to various countries, high risk countries. And whatnot. So
have you had any problems with, you know, maybe ACHs or even physical checks? I know, like with the, you know, check washing, things like that, with people getting the money into their account and then closing the account immediately, like where you can't recoup it in time, or is there still time? Like, is there enough time?
So that's why so basically if we see a check, when a bank gets a check, receives the check, they're going to, you know, there's usually a 1 day hold on
the check. Okay, so there's, as long as you catch it in that, you're still, okay.
So, you know, if it's caught, we go to the Fed and say, hey, fraud. They go to bank where it was deposited and they pull the funds. The good thing, you know, usually if it's check fraud, because that's what we're seeing a lot of, the people that get these scam checks, $5,000-$6,000 checks, they usually don't have any money in their account anyway. You know, this is the biggest thing that they got. The banks are putting an extended hold on those. So they put a 5-day hold.
Okay.
It's pretty easy to pull those funds back. My concern, like I said earlier, is I think we're going to probably, you might see either checks or ACH is an attempt to come out of this account again. But again, our system's keeping an eye on it. We're going to, you know, and obviously call, because with that account number out there, unfortunately, it's just, they'll try, they'll stop for a while, they'll try again 3 months down the line, 6 months down the line. So it's just, you know, it's a risk. You can close your account, open a new account, it could get compromised the same way.
Right.
So
When we closed down and went to Westfield in the first place, I mean, that was a good 9-month process of transferring over. So if we do choose to do that, and I'm not saying we shouldn't, but just know it'll be a process.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, we could pull, you know, the majority of the funds out, leave enough to cover like the payrolls, because it was at least a couple cycles of payrolls that I had to leave in the PNC that, you know, that first time. And we don't probably have to get into that tonight. We need more time.
Well, how long have we had this Westfield account?
Chris, it was before COVID, right?
Yeah, 24 months.
All right, so it's been a couple of years. It wasn't like, you know.
Yeah, not that old, really.
So, you know, I think, and I don't know, I guess my last question would be, and I don't know if we can maybe let them go, you know, unless you guys have more questions, but would you be able to get me more information on that upload process, you know?
On the positive pay upload?
Yeah, like what would be involved in that, maybe we could, you know, I do a little more research and then, because it sounds like for right now, I mean, I can definitely commit to going on the account every day right now, like not in the morning, but if I know that we have that time, that as long as I can call you within that 24-hour time and dispute transactions, I'm comfortable with that right now, you know, for the meantime until we have time to look into this, you know, in a little more detail. And then
I'll get you more information.
And that 2.5% rate, because that is, I will just say that it's higher than Star Ohio, quite a bit higher. How long is that guaranteed for rate?
6 months.
I mean, I'm saying, but when is that? Is that going to expire anytime soon? Do we have to make
No, it's just
always there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
For you guys.
And it changes when the interest rates go too, right?
Or, yes. Yeah, that's going to go with the rates. And we communicate, you know, we have a relationship where, you know, hey, here's the rates, this is what's going on, and we'll get that information to you guys.
Okay. I don't have any other questions, so if you guys want
to. Just one. Earlier, I wrote down block, but I think it was block payments you were saying, but it could create problems. Do you want me to
say that again?
You said that we could block, and I think it was payments.
Oh, yeah.
Can you just explain that a little bit?
So we can do an ACH debit block.
Right.
So what that means is like nothing, any ACH attempt to debit your account can just get.
You don't want to do that. Payroll would not get.
Oh,
payroll.
Yeah,
but then
that was the only thing that I was saying.
Problem.
Payroll would get screwed up.
You'd have a lot of bad employees. Don't do that.
We have no bad employees. We have all good employees.
No, I said you'd have mad employees.
Oh,
they'd be angry.
Mad, yes.
You don't want to do that.
No. Yeah, that would block everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
And then,
so then
she would have to approve everything that is that
no,
type
no,
of transaction.
No, that's right.
So.
No,
they would block it altogether.
No, it would be blocked until you approve it.
Oh, I.
That's how it was explained.
Yeah, that's the way I am. That's the way
it doesn't
I
make
understood
up.
It. And that was my question. But if it.
I
thought it was blocked until it got approved, and that was my.
I think they're saying it would be just blocked.
No.
Just for a period of time.
It would be, you hit a wall and say, hey, these are. And you have to prove it to go through that.
Right.
It didn't sound like it was something that's why I was asking because it
was a question if it was blocked for 12 hours. Would that hurt us? And still could hurt us.
Yeah, you don't want it.
I think for now I'm good.
No. Okay.
So we want to let them go and then.
Yeah. Well, it's Nick and Chris, right?
Yeah.
I do appreciate you guys taking your time on a night like this to come in and help us out a little bit. So.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, it's transactions and things like this that it happened, but we appreciate you guys being up on it and willing to
come in.
Yes,
if you could give me that information, and then I'll just,
absolutely.
That'd be awesome. Thank you.
And we value the relationship as a bank all the way, you know, from the senior leadership down to us. So thank you for the opportunities. We do. We were very grateful.
Thanks for what you did.
Questions on the fraud end, reach out to Chris, who can refer you over to me, and more than happy to help you guys out with anything. And
very good.
Thank you so much.
You guys have a great evening.
You
Thank
too.
You. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
All right. See you later. Take care.
No, I was just thinking that we'll block it until. You know,
all right, so
get on until
next thing is
afternoon.
Bank reconciliation
yes.
discussion
so,
real quick here.
Yeah, I do want to fill everyone in because I would like to get this handled by our next meeting if possible. So if we can just pull up this real quickly.
Sure.
We talked about the July bank rec and that it was held up with the situation that was at going on. I was very uncomfortable to keep that going. So what I did, even though Nick was still working on getting an answer, you know, for that Chief Minnick and Nick were working on, but I just went ahead and voided that payment in July because it did not make our account. I put a note in there that it was a physical check that got mailed in August instead. I printed out all the emails, attached it to the receipt. Anything that Nick gets, I will continue to attach to that receipt. But and then this kind of goes into August as well, that I sent everyone an email about those, the body camera grant info.
Right.
This, because of that large payment that got deposited in, and then I didn't have any paperwork on that. So what happens is then I can't, you know, when I'm trying to work on a bank rec, I have nothing. You know, I'm like kind of going blind, you know. So this is just another reason that we really have to stick to the you know, the grant acceptance, especially grant acceptance, because that's, I mean, the auditor's going to look at that hard. But, you know, it would be helpful, I think, for the board to also go back to the, you know, asking the department heads to come to them for grant approval, you know, for even when the departments are going out for grants for approval for that, just to keep, because the thing is like, what I don't know, and especially with this ARP grant, I put the money back into the ARP funds for now, because I don't.
I think that's fine. We're going to find out Monday
more
about that.
So I put it in though, because I want to get this bankrupt. Like I said, I just felt so uncomfortable with what was going on. I wanted to get this reconciled, you know.
That makes good sense now.
So, but yeah, just from now on, if like, and just for every, so we're all on the same page. If a department's getting money and nobody can assume that I just know about that.
Right.
So I have to have paperwork come to me.
So for my understanding is a lot of people have repetitive grants that come through, whether it's through the county or through the state. My understanding was, is if we got awarded, then you were notified as soon as we were awarded. If we didn't, then it'd be like Denny's last notification that we didn't
did
get,
not get
an award. I'm trying to think of how much extra paperwork.
So really
you're
what should have happened
process.
in that case is I don't remember Denny, and maybe it could have been a meeting I missed, but I don't remember Denny ever going in front of the board saying that he was gonna go out for that grant.
Right.
He should have. That's what
I do know of Denny saying I'm going out for certain grants. I mean, I remember, you know, I think there was a one for the cemetery.
Okay,
or,
I don't,
you know,
and maybe I missed it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I could have missed,
you know,
the meeting.
But
that should
it could always have been a different one too. That, you know,
that should have been step number one. And then step number two is, yes, it was great that he followed up and told us he didn't get it. That's awesome that he did that. Had he not, or had he gotten it though, he definitely would have wanted, you guys should have accepted that by resolution, that grant.
Okay.
And then as the paperwork came in on that,
right,
that should be turned into me for the bank rec.
Well, we don't need to make a motion or a resolution to allow a department head to apply for a grant, correct?
Technically, it's not in the revised code that you have to, but I think it's good practice. You know, it keeps it clean. So that really is up to the board, but you do need a resolution to accept the grant.
Yes.
So, it doesn't hurt you to make the motion, because again, when that way we're just all on the same page.
Well, again,
know?
Too, if we're going to be doing things, we're doing lots of grants, you should almost have like a grant scorecard. Like, okay, say I've applied for grants A, B, and C, and now A, B, and C are on the scorecard. And then when they're either approved or denied, we would mark them off as.
And I think that probably should be held at the admin building.
Right.
Each department head can classify,
and
anybody can see at any time where they stand.
Right.
There's a lot of these grants that, and you'll find that they have very strict criteria far as like, okay, this is where the money must be deposited in. This is what we want to see in one quarter of where it's been receipted to, where what you spent it on, you know, X, Y, Z.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't have that ready, they'll demand their money back. And so, you know, but again, like if I don't, or we don't know anything about that, we're going in blind, you know, so.
It's like when he did the one at the parks for the recycling, he had to spend money in, you know,
and
certain
we knew
different
all,
ways.
I mean, yes, and that was handled perfectly. That grant from start to finish was seamless. I mean, we, other than the fact that we somehow got locked out of the portal and that was a big bump, but I mean, but Jenny followed every step to a T and it was perfect.
All right, so I think we got it. So yeah. Even applying for it, we'll kind of make everybody aware of it. If we get it, we make them aware. If we don't get it, so that way, and then we just keep a track. We'll have a running track of the grants.
And then as the money comes in, I have to get it to me. Because when I'm working on the bank rec, the last thing I want to be doing is having to stop when I've got, 30 receipts that I'm putting in and trying to call people and say, hey, whose grants is this? Who got money in? Please give me your paperwork.
No. Well, it's not like we're getting a lot of them, too, so.
Right. True.
All right.
I know in Olmsted Township, we always had to have board approval before applying for any grant.
Okay. So we won't have a big learning curve.
Yeah.
Nope.
In your world.
Yeah. It's just, right. It's hard because, if you guys saw, I don't know if you've seen the bank rec files, but they're pretty thick. And so if I'm halfway through and then I don't have the paperwork, mm-hmm. It kind of just sits there, then other things pile up and it's easier to just get it done all in one shot,
So Chrissy works on at least some of these grants. She goes and works on them. So before she works on them, should we pass a resolution saying
a motion at
a
least
motion,
to, some
motion
to recognize that
yes.
She's
to say
doing
Chris
it for,
is going to work
for
on
what?
Clear.
Yeah.
Correct.
Grant.
But
please,
a lot of times, Denny or Chief Minnick,
right.
Like each of the departments may be doing their own grants, so that
right.
has to,
right.
Even though admin
mean,
might keep track of what grants are coming, I don't know, with the body cam grant, I don't think admin wasn't tracking that came in, so we didn't know. Or I didn't know, at least I don't know who knew what, but all I know is that, when I was going through the bank statement for August, all of a sudden there was this money and I'm like, whose is it,
They were watching for it, I can tell you that.
I just, DPS, Department of Public Safety, kind of gave me an inkling that it was placed, but
it was somewhere.
Yeah, so.
All right.
So that makes things much smoother process and
budget
helps us get, get organized.
I think that's a good idea, so.
Yeah.
Move it on. Next one is budget line item discussion.
Okay.
Do you need that anymore?
We don't need to do anymore. I was brought up because of my from my perspective, I don't need, but just, I was going through things with Denny and we wanted to move some money from unencumbered to encumbered, and through the process, Angela let me know that doesn't take formal action. We just have to follow the policies and practices of our normal spending, so that nothing gets out of line. So I'm learning and I'm good with that. But you have
okay? No. I mean, if you want to talk more, but
no, I'm good.
Okay,
I'm good. All right.
Yeah, in fact, the purchase orders, except minus that one because of the workers' comp, and
yep.
You understand.
Yep.
That.
Absolutely.
I do that all on an actual purchase order, and then when the bill comes, you'll see it all broken down by line item.
Even in some of the bills we signed back there, I went ahead and assigned code numbers to it.
Okay.
Where I think they should come from.
Awesome.
Okay.
But if you're wrong, I'll let you know.
I
have no problem with that. All the other blankets, they're all super blankets because they had blankets open already, but they're all sitting back there for you as a signature. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right,
we're good.
Anything else on the board?
No.
All right, so.
Wait, you have something?
Yeah, about the last subject we were just talking about.
Budget line item discussion?
Yeah, who should be applying those account codes for the invoices and
you're asking for what the email that I sent?
Yeah, you said that you wanted.
Well, yeah, because so Angela's asking me to look at the appropriations and making sure that there's appropriate funds. So I'm asking that the account that's going to be taken out of or whatever be placed on there. So
you want me to tell you what account the money should be coming out of?
Where it has been coming out of, yes, of the existing bills, not of a new bill, we can discuss that, but bills that, again, this is my first week or two of even seeing these things, so how I interpret something might be different than where it's actually coming out of, so we should, I would imagine, know where these existing bills.
You showed me a file that bills have been paid and there were account numbers on there, but nobody else has that information, so that information just makes sense.
You have the information on the appropriation status.
We don't have those account numbers on a fire, somebody wants to redo fire, things, that's not on our appropriation.
To what, fire extinguishers and stuff like that?
So when we get those, and those are repetitive, we can find a bill that's already been paid. I know Denny just did one, so there's a code on there. But nobody else has that code. You know, you have a code, like
yeah,
you've done it before.
Yeah. I just memorize. Yeah,
but that's for people who haven't had to do that. There's no
way
access.
And again, like how he's decided to put that code on there, you're going to let him know if it's wrong. But I'm just trying to keep track for myself. I'm just asking that if there's a code on there, it'd be a lot easier to say, okay, now we'll just subtract this, and we're trying to, you know, just
right.
Just check. It's the
but
whole
not
point.
Go after new stuff. Not
right.
Try
the
to
new
make
stuff.
Stuff new
the new stuff will be a learning curve, and I've already told Chuck that you know he'll just have to call me if he has a question on those. But for the usual and customary bills, it you know those. When you look, you can look, you know, if you pull out the old accounts payables or Chrissy, you know, I don't know whoever's going to do it, but you can find the account codes on there, and that'll help Chuck be able to look at where his, you know, his appropriations stand and when he'll have to ask for either blankets to be open or supplemental appropriations if money will need to be moved.
Next week I might be in because then he's going to be out of town,
budget.
And so I'm probably going to have a lot of those to look up myself, and if I can get here, I'll be happy to do it, you know, in that process. But
I mean, and you know, it's one or the other. I mean, it's not necessarily an account code. I mean, Denny sometimes, and you'll see if you look at his old bills, I mean, sometimes he'll just know what it is. A lot of times with the bill itself, and you'll see because it's abbreviated, and I can't even tell what that is. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know. It's like, so I'll have to text him and say, like, what is V10-103, I don't know, you know, and he'll say, oh, that was a repair or something, you know, if he missed writing it. So, I mean, if you don't write, you don't necessarily have to write the account code on it, you just have to tell, hey, this is like repairs and maintenance, or this is, you know.
Okay.
But sometimes, that's where, like, there's been times where something doesn't necessarily fit into, you know, like, last week we had one where he said professional technical, and I was like, no, that's actually improvement of sites, you know, so.
Right, and that's what I was... My biggest concern.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. So if nothing's further, I would like to make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
Can I get a roll call?
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Eastwood?
Aye.
Mr. Christopher?
Aye.
All right. The time is now 7:52. I call the meeting.
Let's see you in about 7 days.
Ooh.